This podcast is brought to you by BT. Only BT gives you reliable Wi-Fi in every room or £100 money-back guarantee with complete Wi-Fi.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. Hello, Gavin.
Hi, John.
Gav, what's the most annoying way anyone pronounces any of your names?
I get called Kevin when I go to America because people, they just don't know the name Gavin. Despite the fact that the captain of the Love Boat's name was Gavin McLeod.
The one in those awful shorts.
Yes, the bald ship's captain with the white gear and the white shorts.
No, those really short shorts he used
to...
But it's, do you know what? I was watching Love Boat the other day.
Yeah.
And do you know who suddenly was one of the passengers on it?
Who?
Playing a silly playboy with a bobbly head.
Right.
Tom Hanks.
No way!
Yeah, and it really changed the Love Boat. I was thinking, wow! And the captain just swans up to him. What I love is that there must have been a time when that captain was acting like the big star.
At the top of the bill. Yeah. The guests were the stars.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine one of those TV shows? He'll never be a big name, just some sort of thinking, well, come on, Tom, give us a part. I might be a general in Saving Private Ryan. What, the way you treated me on Love Boat? Sod off. Coming up, the team get romantic with their stories of Valentine's Day. We answer the burning question, how do you identify someone who's been vaccinated? And using my now patented wine influencer name generator, we discover the plonk peddlers of tomorrow. I'm Franco Stanwyck. Gavin?
I'm Thierry Chamberlain.
Find out why now.
Radio X.
4 till 7 thing, absolutely live on Radio X. Thank you so much for joining us. Guys?
Yes?
Have you been drinking a bit of wine, Gav?
Yeah, I've had a bit.
Not before the show,
obviously. Not right now, no.
Busted.
No.
That's what you meant, wasn't it? All right, you got me, John.
It was just a couple, John.
I had a can of wine on the train.
I had some cake and wine.
I had some cake and wine. I tell you something, some people really, if they're not working, some people can really get into the afternoon wine drinking.
I
remember talking to a mate of mine years ago, and this is when I met him for, I don't know, we met up for sort of like drinks at 6.
Yeah.
And I noticed he was already very merry. And I'm not mentioning any names, but I said, you're right. He goes, oh, you know, it is some afternoon stuff. Go on, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, when your bird gets back from work and, you know, and you're desperately trying to hide empty bottles of Frascati. Because you've told her you're learning your highway code for the driving test.
Oh, God. It's like
Wow. Yeah, we've all been there, mate. He says, you know how it is when you go for it.
I've never, ever had that scenario.
No. I said to him, oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But who hasn't? He says, lads, come on.
Let he who has not cast the first stone.
No, but to be fair, he's a good lad to have around. If life's not going so well, he's someone who said when I wasn't working anymore for a bit, he was one of the few people after the Chelsea game. I was on a Sunday night just to look at me and go, hey, high five, you haven't got work tomorrow. And I was like really gutted, you know. As from that Friday, I didn't. But hey, hands up, you haven't got work tomorrow. I go, Pete, I'm not going to high five you for being unemployed.
Yes, I'm not going to celebrate.
Damn, I've given away his name. I've done a bad deal. Guys.
Go on.
Gav, you're drinking a bit of wine anyway, yeah?
Sure, yeah.
It was a long time ago. I'm going about 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
Long time ago. So, Gav, you've been drinking a bit of wine. Yep. Little side, do you drink a bit of wine?
Yeah, a little bit.
How much? What are you drinking?
I don't drink a lot.
What are you putting back?
When I'm out, I know, a couple of glasses, obviously.
No, what about at home? You and your missus?
No, I don't generally drink at home.
Okay, fair enough. How about this? When Margaret Duquesnel began asking French winemakers if they wanted to feature on her social media account a few years ago, they said that I don't want to do that. But now there's this huge market in wine influencers.
Wine bloggers, are they?
Wine bloggers. Yeah, just wine influencers. Literally just putting a picture of them with a bit of wine, drop of wine. They said this was delicious. So wine influencers. So there's one called Georgia Panagoropoulou. She is a Greek influencer. She goes by the name of Wine Genie.
Wine Genie describes herself
as a digital marketeer. there's Valentine Coton, a French concert pianist. She's got a account called Wine Poetry. There's even a policeman who's called Laurent Charrière, posts under the name of Les Vins du Capitaine, the captain's wine. There's Simona Geri. It's an Italian Italian wine influencer. Mm. She calls herself Simona the Wine Setter or Simon's Gittin's Sommelier. So wine is becoming such a big thing during lockdown. It's become bigger than ever it was. We've gone beyond just Lady Petrol and Lady Diesel.
Right.
By that,
right,
I mean Pinot Grigio and Rosé.
Yeah.
Which is Lady Diesel. Yeah. Rosé really is. It's got all that sugar in there. Makes it fast. It's as unhealthy as diesel itself. Anyway, Gav, what I've done is, just in case you're thinking of starting your own wine blog thing, I've got a great way that you can... I've created a wine influencer name generator.
It's such an open game because you can make up what you like about wine.
Yeah, of course you can,
people just believe you. It's like wine blagging.
My cousin, no, I don't even use his name. We get on so badly.
Sure.
But shortly... I think he was 21. That's it, he was 21. Mm. Shortly after... my dad lost everything when we were kids, yeah?
Yeah.
And so we didn't have a penny.
Yeah. Yeah?
And he's quite a lot older than me, my cousin. So he was 21, I was about 15, something.
Yeah.
And he just joined his university wine tasting society.
Right.
And I remember my dad's face when he was asked what he wants for his 21st. And he's looking at my dad, and I didn't have a pot up in at the time. And he said he'd seen this special crystal wine tasting class. I remember my dad. I said, is he kidding? I've never seen him so angry in my life. He's literally hopping mad. He says, what we're going through, that he bloody wants a crystal wine tasting glass.
He's got another thing coming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Read the room.
Yeah. This is at the time we were so poor, we were having to contemplate getting rid of the dog. Get this. Right. This is how you generate your wine influencer name, right?
Okay.
So, Gav, who's your favourite all-time foreign football player?
Probably Henri.
Henri. Take his first name.
Thierry.
Yeah. Followed by the first road you lived in after you left home.
Oh, after I left home?
Yeah.
Oh, God, what was it called? Chamberlain Road.
Right, so you'd be Thierry Chamberlain, which is fantastic.
That's a great wine influencer name.
Thierry
Chamberlain.
Just Thierry Chamberlain. You can be English, it's fine. It's just Thierry Chamberlain.
I love it.
I would be, my favourite would probably be Zola. In fact, definitely Gianfranco Zola, because he's just all the way through a great man. So from that, I'd take Franco. First road I lived in after leaving home was Stanwick Road in West Kent, so I'd be Franco Stanwick.
Franco Stanwick.
Little Si, what are you going with there? You haven't left. Oh, you have left home now. Yeah, go on.
Cambridge Street it was, and probably Jürgen Klinsmann.
So you'd be Jürgen Cambridge. Jürgen Cambridge is absolutely superb. That's really good.
I'm trusting him on good white wine.
83936. I love Thierry Chamberlain. Is quite a man. 83936, please. I need the first name, or you can have a sort of a familiar form of your favourite foreign player's first name, followed by the first road you ever lived in after moving out of home. And that is how you create your wine influencer name. Will and Harley's Cristiano Granchester, that's superb. You can have a wine house with that one.
Rob in Dunmo is Morton Bonington, which really sounds like
really
a wine guy.
Really wine. Get this one. This is really good. This is Hal in Gosport. Let's welcome him into our wine tasting. He is, ladies and gentlemen, next up, Alessandro Testcombe. Thank you.
Followed by Fernando Springfield.
That's Gareth in Rothley. Thank you very much for that one.
Beautiful, yeah.
Here's a good one. This is really good. Next up to our wine tasting, would you please welcome Zizou Woodley Headland? It's a great name. We've got Giorgio Sunfield, Cristiano Bexhill. A lot of Cristianos here tonight.
Your sommelier for the evening, Eric Rochdale.
I don't know. It's a nice bottle of... Eric, we got any more of that? I don't know, the white one. Here's one for you. Dennis Frenchman's is very good. Someone actually lived in Frenchman's Way.
That's fantastic.
And their favourite player is Dennis Bergkamp.
I love that.
Dennis Frenchman's. I'm not kidding, Steve from South. You could get that going with no problem
easily,
at all.
Easily, yeah.
How about this?
Go on.
This is a belter. This is so good for a Rhine wine. Mm. Bringing a selection of Rhine wines to our tasting this evening. Would you please welcome Jürgen Silverwell?
Oh, it's a belter.
And with his new book on the New World wines, it's J.J. Clarendon.
Yes, I see J.J. But he's very much influenced by Bruno Lauderdale, who's Scott from Stoke. The two of them tend to...
Absolutely, and he learned everything he knew from Roy Fabian.
I think, well, actually, you say that, but Sergio Whitworth had a lot to do with that, as indeed did Juan Sebastian Garden Crescent. Thank you. Can I just say, though, that would mean your favourite footballer, Lee from Loughborough, is Juan Sebastian Veron.
Veron, yeah.
He's no one's favourite player.
Surely not.
Surely not.
You can't forget the talents of Edgar Swindale.
That's very good. This is a really good one here. Socrates Maple. That's fantastic. I'd buy pretty well any wine I was told to by Socrates Maple. How about this? You ready?
Go on.
This is from Ed, fixing boilers in Hemel Hempstead.
Yeah.
Get ready for the sophistication and elan this gives him. His is Virgil High Level, which is very good. Andy in Staines becomes Attilio Belmont.
Andy in Lincolnshire, Johnny, becomes Robbie Masonic.
That's very good.
That's very good.
Keep them coming in, please. 8 3 9 3 6 Yes, admittedly, Alan Hemsley sounds a bit more like a pub landlord.
That's right. And El Hajj High Street doesn't work at all.
Yeah, it doesn't work at all. But Fernando Charlesworth Close does.
Yes, it does.
That's very good. This is a great one here. This is from Alex Best, allergic to wine in Sheffield. He says, my wine influence would be Leo from Messi de Montfort. Let me tell you, Leo de Montfort. Clap it in, man. Leo de Montfort. I'd take any wine you recommended. Not as you haven't quite got the edge over Faustino Alexander, but it's still pretty good. And then some of them are just, this is just to illustrate, some of them don't work.
Yeah.
Jimmy Floyd Artichoke.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work at all, Dickie from Chorleywood. But thank you very much. I tell you what, though, Lorenzo Hathersage does. Thank you very much, whoever sent that one in. It has. That's Lee from Reading. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome wine connoisseur Lorenzo Hathersage. Do you know what? Only BT gives you reliable Wi-Fi in every room, or get this, £100 money-back guarantee with complete Wi-Fi. What that means is that wherever I am in my flat... Vaughan Towers, I've got complete certainty that I'll be able to stream NFL games or baseball straight to my phone. Whilst my partner, Vanessa, video calls her parents to show off Milton's latest developments. That's our baby, not a dog. We can both stream, download, video call and game to our heart's content. Knowing our personalised speed guarantee from BT means we'll get £20 back if it's not what they promised. £20! And that's on all the packages, all of the time. If you don't believe me, search BT Broadband to find out more.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
I'm afraid the military overhaul that's going to happen is going to put four, not just battalions in the line of fire.
Yeah.
But they're going to... It's light infantry.
Really?
Yeah, light infantry.
The light horse.
No, but light infantry... I think it's a real mistake. Light infantry is, going forward, what you need. I mean, it was bad enough when they got rid of the light brigades of cavalry.
Absolutely, and the lancers as well.
And you see the hussar regiments. They're hussars only in name now, Gav. The 11th Hussars, a glorious regiment. The cherry pickers.
Absolutely, 11th Hussars with the red stripe down the trousers.
No, those are the cherry pickers. No, it's pink. They've got pink.
Is it pink?
They pick cherries. But Gav, Britain needs grenadiers still. That's not over.
Definitely, and a few dragoons, surely.
Definitely. What does a dragoon do?
No idea.
Bring back pikemen.
Definitely, but we can't. We haven't got pikemen anymore.
No, I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any active pike regiments. Although I'd love it if they did send that in to the hot spots.
Are there any?
Where are the pikemen?
Are there any? Can you imagine the enemy?
Yeah, the Taliban. Don't worry about them, lads. We've got the Warwickshire pikemen.
Have we still got any archery regiments?
No, I don't know, Gav. No, I don't think that's before all that. I don't think that'd be really handy though. But anyway, Gav.
Yeah.
Four battalions face being disbanded. Hundreds of soldiers moved into other regiments. Can you imagine how you'd feel if you were a trained lancer?
Yeah, exactly.
And you suddenly found yourself...
Put out to pasture.
Suddenly lumped in with, I don't know, Christ knows what.
Possibly even infantry.
Yeah. No, they couldn't. If they tried to mix a cavalry regiment, a lancer regiment like the 9th, 12th or 17th, 25th. I was in the 9th, 12th. We've already been amalgamated.
Sure.
It's no longer the 9th, 12th anymore. I don't know what it's in with now. It might even be with the 17th, 21st. We're Nottinghamshire based. But I'm just sad, Gav. Britain needs hussars, not less.
Absolutely.
I think, do you know something? There's a little bit of me just thinks, you know what we should do? Just divide it up purely. Each regiment, keep the old regiments, all of them. But they've only got about 100 people in each one.
Right.
And it's purely ceremonial.
Okay.
And then just have the paras do the work.
Yes.
So that's about it, really.
So it's just for the marching and the bands.
That's what the public likes.
And they wear the old gear.
And they wear just old gear. Yeah, they don't even get involved with that. They're all territorial regiments. And then if you want the real stuff done, just leave it to the paras or the SAS.
So, yeah,
Royal Engineers, Royal Mechanical Engineers, Electrical Mechanical Engineers, the people who do the work.
Yeah. Any pre-musket regiments.
Yes.
So swordplay, pikemen, archers.
Yeah, no, Gav, pikemen should be sacred.
Fusiliers. What's a fusilier? Is that someone lighting a cannon?
Yes, that's like...
Right.
What I'd really like if the Queen was always guarded by pikemen. And it was really inconvenient abroad.
Really big, burly pikemen.
No, just enormous spears, like really long and... Where they go,
they've
got to calculate how high the ceilings are.
For the pikemen have to pass.
Her Majesty's must have pikemen outside the palace. So they could literally, while standing in those sentry box by the palace, they could take an eye out.
Easily,
by the railings. Oh, no sweat. And Gav, and do.
Absolutely right. I'll tell you what, they could have used them in the Capitol building when they got...
they could have. You see?
If you had a few men with pikes...
If they hadn't got rid of pikemen... Absolutely.
They wouldn't have
Americans
got near.
Must be kicking themselves. They must not having be. A decent regiment, or at least a sort of a line of the heavy brigade waiting for them. All gone now, Gav.
I know.
Or some decent lancers outside the White House.
Absolutely
doing
right,
that thing where they ride along, they have to pick a peg up from the ground.
That's right.
Huzzah! They cry.
Radio X.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. Welcome to a brand new week of 4 Till 7 Things. The Woodman Gav's here, right, Woodman?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you, Johnny?
Not too bad. Did you have a nice Valentine's Day?
I did, yeah. I really did.
What'd you do?
I did a card and breakfast. That's what I did as my
treat.
Nice,
man, because then you got it over early.
That's right. Exactly right.
It means whatever happens the rest of the day, you've done your bit.
Exactly. And I put a shift in early. Exactly right.
And also, there's no building up any suspense that something great's going to happen.
That's true.
It's happened, love.
That's right.
No, that was breakfast.
Yeah. It's all done now.
And also, if you had a big Saturday night as well with the Sunday, they're too hungover to even really notice the shoddy quality of whatever you're presenting anyway. That's a brilliant
idea.
Exactly
right.
I'm going to switch to that strategy next year.
It's a great strategy. It's an attack strategy.
It really is.
Yeah.
But actually, it's an attack, but defense, you know, attack it. The best form of attack is defense.
Exactly right.
It's quite, you're attacking, but. Yeah.
It's an entrenchment of
a
kind.
No, sorry. The best form of defense is attack.
Yes.
Okay, how does that fit in then? Yeah. Let me think.
Well,
about
it's proactive defending.
Wait a second. The best form of defense is attack. So, that's what you've done. You've attacked first thing in the morning
and
you've defended yourself. Yeah, it's absolutely. It's Alexander the Great or Napoleon, can't remember who said it.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
Right.
Do you see how quickly I passed over you so I could get.
Well, I want to know. I'm desperate to know.
Let's say, do you know what I did?
What?
I went down and, well, I got some roses for my real love.
Yeah.
And I put them on the door of the gym.
Uh-huh. Right.
Just there.
Are they still
there? And there was already quite a little gathering there. I love that gym. So the doors are chained. And we put roses between all the links.
For
the
all chain, those missed
the chain,
gains.
Yeah. Of all the chain. Mm. Shutting the doors of the gym. And I just put a little 12 roses in the thing. I just shoved them next to little lion man. Duckbill. Yeah. Quadrosaurus. Yeah. Little Si, what did you do?
What did I do? I got a card.
Yeah.
Well, I was quite pleased with myself.
Hey, wait a second. Wait, if you're going to do this, don't go all floppy and like Bruce Forsyth when he's his most weird. Because he's went, well, I just did this and I got a card.
And before I knew it...
Before I knew it...
I found myself in rather a sticky situation.
With the lovely elf here. And, but seriously, would you just talk normally, for Christ's sake?
Well...
It's like having a nodding dog that's Bruce Forsyth.
I was quite pleased with myself.
What did you do?
While I was sorting out when we were moving...
Sorting?
Yeah, go on.
I was sorting out. Yeah. I found a Valentine's Day card.
Brilliant.
A spare?
A spare.
Oh, my God.
You are such a romantic.
Card.
That's fantastic.
Know.
You bought a dozen that time, didn't you? Years ago.
Found an old card.
You bought a dozen of them.
I was quite chuffed myself because I didn't have to, spend out on that.
Nice. Spend out?
Yeah. Nice.
You didn't have to spend...
I think it must have been going cheap or something.
No, you're right. You didn't have to spend out. So that was rather good, John. I didn't have to spend out on a card.
Another and outgoing. I didn't have to contend
with. And I've got one me Auntie Lil sent. She must have forgot to sign it. She just put a question mark on it to someone. To a man at the bowls club. I managed to take that. Go on, what? So what did you didn't lay on anything special? You say you found an old card.
I found an old card and I cooked a dinner last night.
Don't tell me you found it in the freezer. What did you find? An old raspberry pavlova knocking around the bottom of the chest freezer with an old Valentine card.
No, it was actually really nice.
Was it?
Yeah, sea bass with beans.
Green beans.
No, cannellini
baked,
bean
baked
mash.
Beans.
Yeah, baked beans.
Fish and beans.
Yeah. Baked beans and sea bass, please.
Did you have it with a saveloy?
Yeah. Hey, don't I had a saveloy on Friday night.
Did you? Was,
yeah,
it, I did, yeah. Was it a battered one or a standard?
Yes. I thought it was a battered sausage, which is my guilty pleasure at the fish and chip shop.
That's so unhealthy.
I get fish and
so
chips.
Delicious.
I know. I was showing some at the fish and chip shop on Friday night. Yeah. When I always buy it. While I'm I buy a cheeky battered sausage. Yeah. I said, you should actually sell them in a coffin.
Definitely.
Like a proper.
With Rennie as well.
Yeah. You know, just a nice little coffin for it. And, you know. So go on, Simon. Anything else about... Can I ask you what your good lady wife... No, why do I switch just like I'm talking to a couple of pensioners when they're much younger than I am? What did you get for your good lady wife? What did your good lady wife get for you?
Some mints.
Mince beef?
No. Mince.
Oh, with a tea. Right.
Mince. Chocolate mince.
Nice.
I always used to say that whenever I was going out to the off-license to get anything. That was always the line. I'm just popping out to get some mince, dear. I don't know why. It's bad if they buy you mince, mate.
Is it?
Because it means you've got bad breath, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to tell you.
I mean, isn't that what it means?
Yeah, of course it is. If someone bought me mints, I'd be straight away like, what are you trying to say?
Oh, yeah, I hadn't actually thought.
Well, what did you think she was buying them for?
Did she say, here you go, quickly, have three of these?
Yeah, quickly, have three of these, and then we can kiss before they fade.
Oh, no.
Right, here we go. I'm just saying. It's if you've dreamt of owning a Mini, that dream could soon become reality. Mini Financial Services offer tailor-made packages to help you get behind the wheel. You can get up to £1,350 towards a new Mini, and this offer is available with 3.9% APR representative. Mini like to keep things simple. They've got an arrangement to suit your needs, such as monthly payments and how long you want to pay for. The best part is you get to choose the Mini you drive away with. Personally, I'm not doing this to get any sort of discount, though one would be very welcome. I've got my eye on a Mini Countryman SUV. That's the Countryman SUV. It's got loads of space, super versatile, great for families or taking Jeff out for a walk. Plus, I've got my baby, Milton. It's the sort of car that a young dad like me really wants. Also looking at a Mini Clubman, which is packed full of tech. The offer is available for Mini Select agreements for new cars ordered by the 31st of March and registered by the 30th of June this year at participating retailers. So just search Mini Financial Services to find these and other great deals.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Are you ready for this?
Go on.
The government has recommended they want vaccine passports, yeah? What? I read this in every paper today.
So once you've had it, you carry a...
Yeah, like they could require customers to show vaccine passports. Again, it's another thing people have got to handle. It means you've got to get the passport. That's another job.
Yeah.
And you're ready. Post-Brexit, we are turning this country. We left Europe because part of it was because it's a bit of a bureaucratic nightmare. Christ alive, they've only just...
There's like more
nothing.
Of it,
it looks
somehow.
Like bureaucratic heaven. At least someone else was taking care of it in Brussels. God, now it seems to be my old man's doing most of it, judging by his phone conversations. Anyway, Gav.
Yeah.
I think having a vaccine passport, not only is it quite dull and unimaginative, but it's fiddly.
It is fiddly. Laminating alone will be a nightmare.
Do you know what I suggest, Gav?
Go on.
Just something like a you write it on your forehead, like a stamp.
Okay.
Those temporary tattoos.
Yes, okay, like those henna tattoos.
Yes, exactly
right. Good idea.
Yeah, those ones that just last for a year, bang. Or they just do it like in the old days when you were injected, there was no messing. You knew you'd had the injection because, you know, you'd give
it
a dead arm on that for about a year and you'd be screaming. No, I'm just saying we could be a lot more imaginative.
I think so, yeah. I mean, carrying a little card around, that's not right.
That's not right, yeah. No. A sombrero.
A hat,
you get
think?
Given a special sombrero.
If you've been vaccinated, you get a sombrero.
Yes.
Right, I like that. I would probably go top hat.
Nice, the top hat.
And just because very visible in a crown.
And also when you have the second jab, you've got plenty of hat room.
Well, I would say a plain top hat until you've had the second one. But when you get the second one, put a belt buckle on it like Slash.
Yes, fantastic. Or just a ribbon round.
Yeah. A feather coming out of it.
Yeah.
A feather is if you've had the second one. Yeah.
I still think a sombrero. You're right, too inconvenient.
And crowded situations, the brim is too wide, you're going to get issues.
Every time I see Boris at the moment, he's sort of jogging.
Yeah.
And wearing this little red bobble hat.
Right, yes.
That could be quite good. We've had Boris bikes, Boris buses.
Bridges.
Boris buses, Boris hat.
I think
the Boris bobble bonnet. And you literally just get a red hat, and then when you've had the other thing, you get the pom-pom.
You get the pom-pom. That makes a lot of sense.
Little Simon, any suggestions?
You know where you go on holiday and you always have lads on tour on the back.
Oh, you get a T-shirt.
You could have Vax on tour.
Like Vax t-shirts. On tour. Like Vax on. Nice, good idea, Simon. That wasn't weak.
Or, bad at all.
Or just the horns. Just horns, like those stag horns.
Oh, yes. Definitely. The stag horns.
That's a really good idea. It's not as good as the top hat, though. Everyone walking around with top hats. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Or do you know what? Those sort of Afro-y wigs.
Yes, that's a good one. Or those caps where you've got like beer either side of your head.
Brilliant.
Or the ones where you yank a string and it claps a pair of hands above your head.
Yeah, I know that. So I'm very, very visible. You go, have you had the vaccine? You go, hey, take a guess.
I'm sorry, sir. I can't let you on this train until I see you clap those hands together on that cap.
On you get.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Gav.
Yes.
You've got the creator of some great balls of fire in your heroic little slot. Hit it every single day of the week. The Woodman furnished for the hero. Today, absolutely no exception. What you got then, Gav? You haven't heard of this guy.
I had never heard of this guy. And
who is he?
The hero today, Johnny, is a man called Otis Blackwell.
I can't believe you've never heard of Otis Blackwell.
Well, I just hadn't. He was born in 1931. He was born today in 1931.
Today?
In Brooklyn, New York. He lived till 2002.
So he's 90.
What?
He's 90.
No, he died in 2002.
Oh, sorry, Gav. I thought you were saying his birthday. Go on.
So he learned piano as a child. He grew up listening to R&B and country music. This is in Brooklyn, New York. He won an amateur night competition at the Apollo Theater in Harlem when he was 21 in 1952. And this got him a recording contract with RCA as a singer. And this is Otis Blackwell's first single. You never know
how much I love you. Fever is just
such
so
a great voice.
Big. No, but it's such a huge tune.
Absolutely brilliant. He also wrote this song for Jerry Lee Lewis. Absolutely brilliant tune.
Nice.
He also wrote my favourite ever Elvis tune, which is this one. You know
I can be found. I love that song.
The artist who recorded his music.
I love that Elvis tune. Don't Be Cruel, so good, isn't
he? He also wrote All Shook Up. He wrote Breathless. He wrote Return to Sender. It's ridiculous, the list of songs. Man. He was working on his own. There was always a lyricist and a musician.
It was just him.
He did both. He
That's
also,
how I work.
Other artists who recorded him were Ray Charles, Debbie Harry, Otis Redding, James Brown, James Taylor, Dolly Parton, Carl Perkins, and of course, Conway Twitty.
And let's not forget, Gav, Susie and the Banshees with Robert Smith. Well, they did a recording of Fever as a band called The Creatures.
That's right.
In the
absolutely
early 80s.
Brilliant.
And it was the most fantastic version of it. Best version of Fever I've ever heard.
Let's salute him on what was his birthday, Otis Blackwell.
Otis Blackwell, Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7 thing, why we salute you. Thank you, Woodman. A brilliant celebration of a great man's life. I'm really glad. What I like about that, Gav, is, as you know, this show is about entertain, but always inform.
Yes.
And that was so true to that third part of the Invisible Remit. Radio X. You find the leader today, that's your man TJ, on really quite poor form, only because I think I've just got the electricity bill for all the flats.
It's definitely way too much
electricity
money.
Electricity bill for $7,000.
That's insane.
I've only got a two-bedroom flat. It's driving me, it's got me really tense, I'm really hot. I sent them to go and read the meter and I think I just said, I don't know where the meter is. And I think they've gone to read the main meter for the whole...
They must have done, that
they
can't
must have,
be
they
right.
Must have. I can't have an electricity bill for $7,000.
I mean, you've only had that particle accelerator for a couple of months.
Well,
now.
Unless Jeff's up to stuff while I'm here with the boy Milton, unless they're working on something, I don't know. Anyway, Gav,
go on.
I'm always worried about the effects of what I call salmonization.
What is salmonization?
Salmonization is when something that should be a treat is they sort of think, hey, let's just get that for everyone, like with salmon. And now you've got the rivers are ruined. They're just full of these fakes, farmed salmon, because everyone suddenly wants
because it's not rare or special anymore.
No, it's suddenly it's every wedding needs badly cooked salmon.
That's right, yeah.
No, let's make it as dry. We want to make it as bad as the chicken, please. As dry as and inedible as that. And everyone will just chuck it away and go, I didn't like the salmon either.
I didn't like the salmon, no.
And can I just say, wedding caterers, that's all we ever say. And the only reason you get another gig is because no one from one wedding speaks to anyone from another.
It's bizarre.
No one ever wants to discuss the wedding ever again.
No.
It's like the circus. It just moves on to another town.
No one talks
and
about
that
it.
That is the edge that wedding caterers have.
It's like the Vietnam War. You just don't talk about it.
I tell
it
you now, wedding caterers, your food is crap. It really is. And that's from the bottom of my heart. And that's from all my listeners. We've never thought, oh, yum. You never see anyone licking the plates, do you? No. You see everyone go, thanks. Just take it.
Yeah, just take it away.
I said, take it. Anyway, the point is, this creeping salmonisation happened with beef as well. When I was a kid, you have a steak. We'd just be going, I'd know about it that morning.
Oh, it's a very big deal.
We've got a steak tonight. I'd be like, oh, God.
God, I'm thinking about it.
No, we're going to have the steak on Thursday. Like, oh, God. Okay. That's the steak. No, we're saving it till Sunday and we'll have a beef. We'll have this whole okay, Mum. And then suddenly it's just everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sound like a dog then.
No.
I suddenly went, anyway. Caviar, Gav.
Yeah.
They're now farming it.
Oh, so just
they're
anyone's
they're just farming
it.
Right. Yeah, it's
just going to be like jam now.
It's not even cruel. Not even cruel.
It's not even cruel.
Lobster. They're starting to farm. I'm sure there's lobster farms now.
There must be. Yeah, really big ones like those,
yeah,
like the way they've done
so,
with
so
chickens.
Americans can sort of have it. You can get it now at like TGI's, can't you? Places that were never meant to have it.
I think there are those all-you-can-eat lobster restaurants in America where each lobster's the size of a sort of sheep.
Yeah.
And you can just keep going.
Yes, yeah, right. In fact, I was talking about TGI's there, Gav, which is, thank God it's Friday,
Yeah.
Not if you're Jesus. Right? Not a good day.
Not a good day.
Certainly not a day you're particularly pleased with your old man.
That's right. Don't bring God into it. Yeah.
No, especially not as they nail you up there.
I know.
I can tell you now, he wasn't thinking, thank God it's Friday.
No, he wasn't.
I hope one day they create a restaurant. Anyway, I've just got, that was just something I was thinking, funnily enough, last night.
Although the priest in mass could give out the wine in from little shot belts.
Yes, he could.
Walking through the congregation.
Or just have a tequila girl. Right. Anyway, the point is, Gav, they're now white truffles, 5,000 pounds a kilogram fungi, often described as the finest of all delicacies, could soon be growing in Britain after French scientists announced a breakthrough yesterday. So they think they're going to be able to.
Oh,
at the moment,
God.
You only get it in Italian for, you know,
it's going to be everywhere.
But you know it's just going to be another catastrophe, just like it was with beef, just like it is with salmon, just like it is with caviar, just like it's going to be with lobster. You know it's going to just something like, we'll screw it up somehow.
Truffles everywhere.
You know, I don't know. That's exactly right. You go to the fish and chips and go, do you want a bit of truffle sauce on that, mate? Here you go, Sam.
Not again.
Yeah. Could I have a...
you got any saffron?
Oi, mate, can you stick some saffron and some caviar on me truffle burger? Shut off, mate, you've had enough. Go on, give him a squirt, shall? And we don't want that.
No, use the fresh ones. We got too
and,
many.
And you got any more of that truffle? The truffle sauce is over there, mate, with the caviar. And all the muck.
X.
You know what? Small business owners have always worked really hard, like a kind of salmon swimming upstream. But the stream, that's Niagara Falls. And these days, they have to work even harder to get up those falls. Anyway, bodyguard business are there to suit your changing business needs. That's the point. Whether you're taking payments face-to-face, I don't know, online or phone, whether you're moving your pet shop online or shifting from in-house dining to a takeaway. Make accepting payments or moving payments online the easier part of adapting your business with a reliable, flexible, and helpful payment provider. Barclaycard Business. Take every payment seriously. Search Barclaycard Business.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Get this. Slap head and tickle is the headline.
Yeah.
Are you feeling lucky, ladies? Bear in mind, Gav and I are both men with lacking hair and with beards. Guess what it says? Baldies with face fuzz are the best in the sack. They beat guys with small feet and brown-eyed men with piercings. Guy just says two blue-eyed men with big feet, bald heads and beards.
And beards.
We absolutely concur with that, ladies.
They're just really messing with our heads,
they really
they?
Are.
What's going on?
They're messing with our heads, Gav, or actually reading them.
Yes.
They're actually going inside our brains and taking items from our egos. But anyway, thank you very much to the Daily Star, whose thought for the day is time to start shaving your head and not your chin. How about that?
Radio X.
It's a Valentine's Day special edition of
The Things We Do For Love. The Things We Do For Love.
To impress a girl I once faked being a fan of Bronski Beat. I've also pretended to be into the Pasadenas and horse riding. Gav manipulated the situation so a girl he liked caught him working out on a punch bag. Must have been hilarious. This got us thinking about... Come on, that's when you hit the next one. The things we do. Absolutely right. And so the item just writes itself. Have you tried to impress the object of your affection? These ways. Gabe joined a mixed aerobics class and put his back out during a squat thrust. Jeremy travelled from Croydon to Hastings just to buy some spelt bread for a girl he was dating. And one listener risked an anaphylactic shock by eating fish, even though he was incredibly allergic.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable, isn't it? What did you do or agree to do in the name of love? You've been sending in yours. Mark from Stockport. He says, I got confirmed in the local C of E church to get closer to Nikki W., whose family were prominent figures in the church. You schmoozer. Sadly, she was dating an older altar boy. I'm still friends with her today, 35 years later. We laugh about it. Me through tears. Nice. Gav, what's Andrew in Chester? I can't read the ones Gav's gets, so I always look forward to this. Go on.
Andrew says, I once helped a girl I was in love with move house. I carried boxes, built cupboards, put together a bed, fixed a coffee table, the lot. We went out that evening to celebrate the move and met some of her work colleagues. She invited everyone back to her new flat for extra celebrations. And then I caught her copping off with her manager in the kitchen.
Wow.
I left and didn't speak to her for a year.
And do you know what? That's one of those occasions when you should leave sulkily. I remember going back to sort of dates and stuff, and you'd be in a car, and you're expecting like a kiss or something.
Yeah.
And you put a bit of power into the door when you get out, don't you? Just a little bit more. Not quite a slam or a hump. But this. Bought you dinner. This is from Phil. When I moved to Gloucester 20 years ago, I liked a girl who was rugby crazy. I'm not talking about you saying, I'm not talking about really slamming the car door. It's something about you, you sort of think. Waste my time. Like two bottles of wine. When I moved to Gloucester 20 years ago, I liked a girl who was rugby crazy. I hate the sport, but in an effort to woo her, I had the Gloucester rugby crest tattooed on my back. Wow.
Wow.
I also joined the local team. During my first ever game, I got punched in the throat, which fractured my larynx. She dumped me whilst I was sitting in an A&E for not being manly enough. I hate rugby. Tell us what you've done for love. 83936 or at Radio X on Twitter. Do you know with rugby, it's not the game, it's the players, yeah? Oh, it's Eddie Jones. In fact, it's Eddie Jones, British rugby's most lamentable figure. Tell us what you've done for love. 83936 or at Radio X on Twitter. Get into it. Get involved. Ah, those things we do for love.
Radio X. Johnny. Born.
Britain's worst zoo has finally been wound up, I see, over unpaid debts.
Okay, so it's not a terrible new TV series.
No, but Dean and Tracy, Britain's worst zoo.
It really sounds like a Channel 5 TV show.
They should have stepped in. They'll be kicking themselves, Gavin, you said that. They're thinking, damn, we could have got people there. We could have leapt on the Tiger King. We could have got on the back
so
of that.
So much to use,
could have got on the back of that.
Oh,
had
man.
Had some really mangy-looking animals.
Yeah.
Dean and Tracy Tweedy. Okay, how about this for what could possibly go wrong?
Go on.
Dean and Tracy Tweedy, 52 and 50, had, I don't know why they were put ages in, had no experience of zookeeping.
Right.
When they bought the, I don't know, it just strikes me as would suit an experienced couple.
Definitely.
Zoo for sale,
yeah.
No experience necessary.
That does, yeah,
would
that's
suit
not
two clueless individuals. Anyway, it was in Borth.
Yeah.
In West Wales, within 6 months, one lynx had escaped. I had to be shot by council marksmen.
Oh, no.
Another had to be another was accidentally strangled by keepers. What do you mean accidentally strangled? I tell you something, I didn't know council had marksmen.
No.
And also, I'd like to know is, you know, can you employ them? Can you call up the council and go, yeah, can you move through the marksman, please?
I need someone to do
that. Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what I need. I'll phone a council marksman, but No, we've had to wait 2 years for them to do this hit.
They take long votes.
I've got to get
long committee votes on when to do the hit.
Phone permission for the hit.
Radio X.
Gav.
Yeah?
Get this, yeah?
What?
I've got a tale of the oldest sort of DNA sequencing man's ever done.
Okay.
Do you want to hear about that?
Yeah, sure.
I bet you do. I've really whet your appetite now.
You really have. I love genes.
Okay. Genomes.
Mm.
Around 1.5 million years ago, according to Tom Whipple, science editor in the London Times. Ripple for the Whipple. Around 1.5 million years ago, on the cold steppes of Siberia, a mammoth died.
Okay.
It lay in the ground as its species died out and the human race rose. Mm. But now a team of those humans has looked at its teeth and they've extracted the oldest DNA ever sequenced.
Really?
Yeah. It means they can now recreate mammoth teeth.
No way.
I want some.
I want mammoth teeth.
I want to open my mouth. Do you know who I think should be the first person to get them?
Who?
Mick Jagger. To match that mouth. He opens it up and he's got literally teeth. People go, you've seen his lips? You go, you've seen his teeth.
He's got teeth to match now.
Hilarious. One tooth covering where six should be.
One tooth on the top, tooth on the bottom.
It'd be so much more convenient than having... Why have individual teeth? Why?
Exactly, because it's just more problems, isn't
it? It's more problems, yeah.
More teeth, more problems.
Right.
Yeah, you just...
I don't know, it sounds like a...
Well, no, because you've got that many
more money, more problems. Yeah. Right? Yeah, no, but you're right. More teeth, more problems. Each one. But I know you'd say, yeah, but if you had one, then you get one big... But it's just a lot easier, isn't it?
Of course it is,
because you wouldn't have to get in between the gaps.
That's right. Yeah, you just brush your tooth.
Yeah, you know. Let's face it, molars, they just go on like that.
They do. It's just a block of tooth.
Yeah, yeah. Why not just have, like, that's your molar, that thing. A line of them there.
I love that idea.
And then two more in there.
That's right.
Wherever the teeth match, just have one. Just make it bigger. Less gaps, easy to clean.
One big wide front tooth.
Yes, much less gum to get...
I think it's simple, yes.
Gingivitis, which always sounds like an affront to redheads.
It does.
Really is. Always sounds.
And for some reason, we've all got it.
Yeah, everyone's got it, and it's
everyone's
incurable.
Got it.
Anyway,
all
Gav,
you, yeah.
The point is, there's a bit here that reminded me of Jurassic Park, because they've only got a partial genome.
Okay.
So they have to make up...
The sequence.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. The sequence is something else. But I was sort of thinking, it was really one of my... I'm coming back to that in a second, about making up sequences, because it's still one of the most disappointing things. If we look at an example of fiction where this has happened, and why we all know about this, was the frog used in Jurassic Park. And they teased us in Jurassic Park by saying... Thanks, Little Science. Right, that is good. That is expensive production values. That's given the show millions.
Yeah.
And... It always annoys me that they never did anything with that. They always said nature will find a way and everything, and it does a bit at the end, but we never really... It never made any difference.
No.
Like, and what I would have liked to have happened is when that massive Tyrannosaurus Rex has frightened Jeff Goldblum in the gang in those vans.
Jeeps,
those sort of SUV things.
Yeah.
In fact, they're not that, are they? They're like sort of Honda, they're like Renault Espaces or something really 90s. And it looms over the top.
Yeah.
And it does this roar of sort of bad breath. But I'd have liked it if at that moment...
Yeah. As it leaned down.
As it leaned down, we just heard... and that for me.
Now you've got a movie.
It'd have been really funny. But they never do that. Hey, that worked better than we thought, Little Si, you see?
He's so chuffed.
So what? Something works on show. Shock. Listen, let's quit while we're at... No. What I was going to say is, I'd like it if they sequenced this mammoth with my very own bulldog, Jeff.
Oh, man. That's
I'd
dream.
Love to have the mammoth bulldog.
Oh. That's the flavour.
Like, people are going, he does look a bit like a bulldog. Just got just little echoes of Jeff.
That's right.
In there. It's like Jeff, but 4 metres high. A bulldog, 4 metres high with
it's
tusks.
It's terrifying.
Oh, no, but and all friendly as well.
Yeah.
Not all fierce like a mammoth. Really funny and dribbly and
a little stubby tail
just
wagging.
Lazy.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
We're getting loads of people talking about what they'd like to see the missing genome made up with.
Mixed with a mammoth.
They've just found some mammoth DNA.
Yeah.
They started to sequence it. There's a bit missing. And I always felt they missed out in Jurassic Park with the whole frog thing.
Definitely.
As loads of you did as well. Like someone says here that, which I love this as an idea. Thank you very much. You haven't put a name on it. It's a great text. Mm. Going back to the Jurassic Park improvements, when the T-Rex is chasing the Jeep, it should shoot out its tongue and capture the Jeep like a frog catching a fly.
Because the scale is there,
Roll credits, dinosaurs win. Beautiful text.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's got it all in there, beginning, middle, and end. Hey, Teej, I'd like to see mammoths sequence with goats, just to see them in trees. Shouldn't be, or on the edge of ledges, like you see in Africa. I like this, so get the ending though. Like you see in Africa and such. Thank you very much for that. Very please, if you'd like to end your text with "and such," we'd appreciate that.
We've missed the obvious one, Johnny.
What?
A mammoth and a penguin, just to see a giant penguin with tusks.
They virtually are dinosaurs anyway.
They are.
Oh, sorry, mammoths aren't dinosaurs. Yeah, what I'm doing there. I was thinking about the T-Rex.
Yeah.
Get this, though, Gav.
Go on.
This is for either the dinosaur or the mammoth. I've got my head in both games now.
Go on.
A kangaroo.
Wow.
To have a big woolly jumper. A woolly jumper. Hey! Thank you very much, Glenn in Watford. Superb.
I'm Lee Mack.
And I'm his not-famous mate, Neil.
Check out our podcast, I Can't Believe It's Not Buddha, where we try and work out whether there's anything in meditation and spiritual enlightenment.
Spoiler alert, there definitely is.
Right, well, you seem to have already made your mind up.
Or have I? Buddha says we are not our minds.
Well, that's good news for you, because your mind has never been up to much.
Why don't you shove it up, you...
That's I Can't Believe It's Not Buddha, a podcast where two old friends go on a journey of spiritual enlightenment together. Say something nice, Neil.
Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, that'll have to do.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Gav.
Yes.
When people come to me with problems, I look them in the eyes and I say, stop. Stop right there. Don't bring me problems. Bring me solutions.
Solutions.
Solutions. That is what we're after here on the 4 till 7 thing. Just solutions. Forget problems.
No.
Darren says, if it won't budge, put your foot on it. Stacey suggests, take it into a field, tie it to a tree. And Nick reckons you should wrap it in a rug, take it to some deep water, and keep your mouth shut. Ladies and gentlemen, let's have some more solutions. Got one here from Gary in Dubai. Thank you so much, Gary. Gary says, use wax, not cream. Solution.
Chris in Sheffield says, try a little drop of olive oil.
Solution. Dan of Essex, this is good, this'll work. Explain loudly in a clear voice and then peg it. Solution!
Richard Kent says, try pulling your eyelid down and blowing your nose.
Solution! Big Fletch says, turn anti-clockwise, then twist hard clockwise. Solution!
Emma in Cardiff says, write a polite note, but sign the wrong name.
Solution! Claire in Swanage says, raise your hand above your head and cough.
Solution.
Send your solutions to 83936 at Radio X on Twitter or email johnny@radiox.co.uk. So many good solutions still coming in. Pull it tight till it clicks, then you're home and dry. Thanks, Bill. This is just as I'm speaking, these coming in. Cut up a plastic bottle. Two lolly sticks and a Jubilee clip. That'll sort it. Thanks, Dave.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Gav, I've got some good news.
What?
In the papers today.
Go on.
Tom Whipple, science editor in the Times. Ripple for the Whipple. Do you know what he's told us?
What?
If you're forgetting your shopping list, it might be worth adding chocolate to it.
Really? Why?
Yeah. A study has found that flavonols, which are present in cocoa, appear to boost memories. Apparently, here's the theory. The researcher said to get the benefit from chocolate alone, do you know what you'd have to eat?
How much?
10 Mars bars a day.
I'm on it. I'll start tomorrow.
10 Mars bars, that's going to get your memory.
I'm going to deal with that.
You have a great memory.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I just don't know.
10 a day.
Some days this health advice they're giving out is so confusing. Isn't it? We're now getting something. Want to improve memory? Eat 10 Mars bars a day.
10 Mars a day. Helps your brain remember stuff.
Things.
Radio X.
A pub has had its licence revoked. Now, this is, it's obviously not in the spirit of lockdown. I mean, what you've done, yeah, lads, really crafty and everything, yeah?
Okay.
But this is the whole point. You're only teachers, you say, you're only fooling yourself.
Right, yes. Cool.
You're only fooling yourselves, cheating in exams, looking at the answers.
Yes, you're hurting yourself.
You're only fooling yourself.
Yep.
A pub has had its licence revoked after regulars posed as builders carrying out repairs, and they're all going in there just drinking.
You're joking.
No, all the locals just going in. It's as normal, dressed as builders. Another night of working on.
Have they got like an apprentice in the corner just hammering away with a hammer to make it sound like there's work going
on? What is it?
Oh, the impact drivers. Just give it another go, will you?
They'd have probably said no. That's taking it too far. Yeah. It's too annoying. I know we're meant to be fake builders, but I don't. That's too real. The fake tradesman was spotted by a policeman carrying out a spot check.
Yeah.
In Dyserth, it's North Wales. The police said CCTV footage showed people entering the pub through a back door before, get this, before hiding from a community support officer. Can I say...
Please tell me there was a password. I really want to know what the password
or a secret knock. Yeah. No, please tell me there were just some, like, burly Welshmen all giggling after having a couple of drinks in it. You go, shh.
I'm an accountant. Listen,
do you know, it's not funny, all right? Actually, it's not funny. They're only fooling themselves. It's just the thought of Welshmen just hiding behind a door while the police, while a community support officer.
Yeah.
I never know when it says community support officers.
Yeah.
If they're supporting the community or right. the police.
Yeah, good point.
It says a police community support officer. Are they supporting the police in the community or the...
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know. 83936.
Hopefully both, obviously.
Well, I would suspect the police are probably... I bet you any Met listening in a van now going, neither. Which is a pain in the ass.
Got to tidy up after them.
The truth is, John, nothing. Yeah, right. You know that one. It's a very good... They don't know that themselves. I hope somewhere back up in a van are chortling. Yeah. 83936 if you are. Also, you ready for this? Almost half of new food enterprises are operating from home. This is story two.
Right.
So loads of people who are short of money have started just knocking up homemade food.
Right.
And selling it now out on, like, you know, so people can pick it up.
Yeah.
Can I say, well, the trouble with that is they're now going to fall foul of
licensing laws.
Yeah, food standards agencies.
Yeah, yeah. A1 license.
And all this sort of stuff. Yeah. But can I say, how come pubs and places for years serve things like homemade Grand's pie? You think, well, that's not why I've come out to a pub, is it?
No,
I can do that at home.
I want restaurant made.
No, but loads of restaurants do this anyway, don't they? Go, they homemade fish gratin. Or something. Homemade, are you thinking, what?
They do.
What tell you make it at home and you bring it to the pub. What's the deal? So let's just police generally the word homemade and let the Food Standards Agency just clear up for these people before they get fined just for trying to nick a few quid at home.
Yeah.
Before the health and safety boys move in. Mm. Just to say, could you have a definition of homemade anyway? Because I've been to loads of pubs and it says homemade. I thought it was cool. That should be your defence.
Good point.
And lastly, Gav,
go on.
Radio 4's launched a new soap opera.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've listened to the Archers virtually every day since, well, I don't know, for about 30 years. I love the Archers.
Sure.
And I don't get why they're doing this. This is an everyday tale now of urban people.
Really?
Yeah. Can I just say, don't bother. The Archers is terrible. We don't need another one. No, literally, I finished here and I listened to it 15 minutes, 7 o'clock. It's just another source of dreariness in my life.
It is.
It's like they're gonna fight them. We will fight them. We will make them depressed in the country and now the cities. And the one nice thing about it was, as a city dweller, I used to listen to that and think, oh, thank God I don't live in the country. Yeah. Now what's going to happen?
X Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Hey, Gav, I tell you something. You really hit me with one of those sort of facts that it wouldn't be a stranger in the Daily Star, because it's the sort of, I suppose it's the most accessible end of the archaeology game.
That's right,
when they
yeah.
do open a tomb and they find booze or edibles.
Yeah.
Can you still eat it? Your star reader, star reader wants to know.
Yeah.
Gav told me a really interesting fact before the show, which I had no idea about. Go on, Gav.
I didn't know this either.
Hit him up with it, baby.
Even as a former catering worker, I didn't know this.
Well, there's no reason. You weren't an archaeological catering worker.
No, well, I knew about food, but apparently honey never goes bad.
Never.
It can't go bad. All it can ever do is crystallise a bit and go solid. But if it does, even if it does, you just put it in some warm water and it goes back to normal.
So you know how to deal with it as a caterer.
Oh, yeah. You need Anne-Marie.
And do you know what came in there? A little bit of that catering expertise, didn't
Absolutely
it? Just
right.
bled yeah, into yeah. that item.
Yeah, yeah.
So he said there was no problem, but even if there was, and you've just entered that Egyptian tomb, you got a caterer on hand to deal with it.
Absolutely right,
yeah. Gav, do you know what you should get a T-shirt with?
What?
Just ask a caterer.
That's right.
if you are, when this dreadful COVID thing is over, I would assume there's going to be loads and loads of weddings.
Yes.
And loads of occasions.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Can I say, if you are giving a wedding speech and the food's been particularly appalling, it's always appalling anyway, but always start your speech, just go right in there, don't mess about, as only ever happens traditionally in weddings in Kent,
yeah.
when you're in the South. You go, first thing I'm going to say, and I've been at a wedding where a guy says this, first thing I want to say, and this is right off the bat, and I know this comes from the heart and everyone will agree with me, let's hear it for the caterers.
Yeah.
and the food had been appalling. And there'd been a fight in the car park between one of the caterers and someone else. So it really was quite a day out. Yeah, one of the caterers.
You sound like a band, let's hear it for the caterers.
Let's hear it for the great name for
live.
A band. Great name for a band. Gav, I tell you what, you say honey's the only food like that. Can I just say... I've got some onion chutney in the back of my fridge that has now, it's gone through its third house move now.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it goes back pre-divorce, this does now.
Well, I suppose honey is liquid sugar of a kind.
I don't know,
and chutneys and jams, they are preserves because they are basically sugar.
I'm trying
they?
To take it out of the sort of catering base now into sort of something we can roll with.
I just wanted to make it a bit more boring, sorry.
No, but you really did borify that. That was extraordinary.
I killed it.
Now we've added boron.
Wood smothers the link again.
Yeah, I was trying to give you some legs. Yeah, John, again, I'll tell you the reason for that as a caterer. I'm just saying.
How long have you had it?
Years, before the divorce. So I'd say it must be 12 years
and
old.
And no mould or anything?
No mould, nothing. Also, I'd say HP barbecue sauce. I bring that out maybe once a year at a barbecue,
and it's
just to pre-cook a bit of chicken on. 83936, what would you say belongs in Gav's honey trap?
Yeah.
It's just been there forever. Afternoon teas in the Woodman. My thing for the honey trap, or jar love, is a massive sack of broken basmati rice my dad gave me about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I tried filling a jar with the stuff for convenience, but the size of the sack never goes down. It's still legit, though, and makes a half-decent pilau. Bill near Northampton. I tell you something as well, Gav.
Mm.
Sometimes you look at a jar.
Mm.
Like I got some Demerara sugar the other day from the supermarket.
Yeah,
I'm not going to mention the supermarket. I'm not going to give them the credit unless they pay. You've got to pay.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to do that anyway, as the boss doesn't like it. I'm kidding. That's a Bob Monkhouse joke from the late 80s. Gav, you get a sack of something.
Yeah,
and you'll see a jar.
Yeah,
and you think, well, you know, a little bag, and you think, well, that must surely that's going to work, and you keep going, thinking. It's like you sort of feel like one of those magicians doing that trick where they're sort of... But you're thinking, wow, how can that ever last?
Can it last?
Get to the top of you thinking, it's got a flour is particular for that.
Oh, yeah,
you get a jar, you've got
very
a little
deceptive,
bag of flour.
Yeah.
The bag of flour will go in the jar.
It's
and yet,
mad.
As soon as it's free, it starts to...
It's true.
It's unbelievable. Gav, give us another bit of jar love.
Jordan in Stoke says, Johnny, we've had some cheese, quote, flavoured slices in our fridge since we lived in our old house. We've been in our new house for 8 years, and they're still as supple as the day they were created.
That's fantastic. They were created. Yeah, I believe that. Check how much cheese is in there. Cheese is one that baffles me because... It's a bit like aged meat baffles me.
Yeah.
Because you buy, it'll say aged for 30 days.
Yes.
And then you look at the sell-by date and it's off tomorrow.
That's right, and it's been hung.
You're thinking, well, why?
I know.
Well, what's the difference here?
It's bizarre. Yeah.
I don't know. And let's move on.
Go on.
Hi, John and the Woodsman. John. Nice. Tough John, please, if you're going to use just the John. Hi, John and Woodsman. We had a tin of condensed milk in our cupboard. It went out of date in 2010. We owned it last month. Still absolutely fine. That's yours, George of Gerrard's Cross. Thank you very much, George. Gav, next.
Stephen Milton Keynes says, I have a tin of anchovies that have stayed in our cupboard since our boys were children. I'm now a granddad. Do you think this would work on pizza still?
That's Stephen Milton Keynes. Yeah. Steve, absolutely. You go for it. No, I can be not held responsible.
Radio
if you do,
X does not recommend it.
Radio X doesn't recommend using things when you're actually single and you're now a granddad.
Yeah.
John, it's a popular misconception that Toland Man was found encased in peat. It was actually chutney.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you know
what?
I can believe it. Afternoon, John and Gav. A jar of beef paste has been lingering in the cupboard for an eternity. It hangs at the back, marshalling the rest of the tins like an aging footballer who gets moved to the sweeper position. Always ready, but never gets to leave his half. Stephen Newcastle. Let's clap Stephen
there.
That's
beautiful.
Do you know what amazes me?
God, he painted a picture there for us,
didn't he? It really did. Lyrical, Gav. Lyrical.
Lovely stuff.
What amazes me is if I ever ask my cleaning woman to clean out everything that's got a sell-by date, do you know what she does?
What?
She only throws out that next sauce I'm going to be using, like that night. So I think that's okay. I've got
that's the only thing she throws.
I've got some applesauce there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and yet she'll keep all the old stuff in the fridge. She'll just literally... I know she takes them home. I know she's planning to have some nice porky bits that night as well. A jar of Marmite that's years old. You need the strength of a bodybuilder to open it because the old residue around the lid. But when you open it, oh man, it's fine. That's Steve from Who. Go on, Gav, last one up.
Afternoon, TJ and the Woodman. Not food, but a different type of old jar. Me and the missus had to self-isolate at the in-laws in Guernsey for a few weeks before Christmas whilst they moved out. During our isolation, we were so bored we had a clear out of the bathroom and kitchen cupboards and came across a tub of Sudocrem dated December 93. We threw it out with all the other crap, but only for the mother-in-law to complain on her return, saying she, quote, used it all the time.
I'm still using some Sudocrem.
Actually, medicines is a great one. There's
not on Milton, but whenever I get any abrasions, I use the Sudocrem. I use this jar of Sudocrem, and I was thinking, yeah, I've been using this since Tabitha was little.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud about it. And I suddenly realised, actually, it goes back before that. I bought that for my first bulldog's folds.
No.
And I just noticed around the inside, there's tiny little hairs left from a dearly departed old family friend. I can't throw it out now. It's like a sort of mausoleum for Harvey.
It's grey tubs.
Yes,
is it?
Yeah, it is. Gav, this is just coming in. No name on it. My nan had a tin of beans so old, it had a competition to win two tickets to see the Beatles on it. So it's worth a fortune.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Don't throw it away! Also, go on, Gav, quick.
Teej, army rations back in the day was in tins, so when we went on exercises...
I remember them, the gold tins.
We'd get our rations, and on the tins were the use-by date, but a sticker was put over the date, so it would look in date. Obviously, we'd pull off the sticker, and they were usually about 10 years and always out of date.
Gaz, Cardiff.
From Gaz,
John, Gaz, I remember the 24-hour ration packs, yeah?
Yeah.
And I remember when we went... what we used to do is... we used to roll them into the enemy's fire.
Right.
Well, we did it one time very irresponsibly. We found where the enemy was camped on manoeuvres down at Lark Hill.
Sure.
No, Proteus.
Yeah.
And we rolled it in there. Thought nothing more about it. We just thought it'd just be a bit of a bang or something. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Honestly, we might as well roll in a can of napalm.
No,
it was the rice pudding one.
And it exploded.
It came out like sheets of flame. It was just outrageous. It actually burnt through a sleeping bag, so never ever. Yeah, the compo rations.
Run!
The worst thing is one of the lads says, you didn't waste the rice pudding, did you?
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now and you'll get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every day, as long as that device obviously takes podcasts. I've said it before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It can't just be a Hoover.
No, it can't be a toaster. It's not going to work.
Although, God, what happy days. Happy days, Gav. You just put the toast down.
Hot toast and podcast. Toast and podcast.
Well, no, it'd just be nice if it just followed you around. Whatever device you're on, it just follows it. So you do the kettle while it's boiling, you get some podcast. Toaster comes down. Suddenly it's in stereo.
Lovely.
Lovely. Yeah, we're just years ahead, Gav. Years ahead of the curve. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. But thanks for downloading the podcast. Please recommend it to a friend. It really makes a difference. You don't have to listen to them particularly. They tell your friends, you don't have to listen. It's just a way of saying thanks if we've lifted the misery of lockdown at all. Thank you very much.